భద్రం కర్ణే భృణుయామదేవా భద్రం పశ్యేమాక్షభర్యజత్రాః స్థిరైరంగైస్తుష్టువాగంసస్తనూభిః వ్యశేమదేవహితైర్యదాయుః స్వస్తి నైంద్రో వృద్ధశ్రవాః స్వస్తి నః పూషా విశ్వవేదాః స్వస్తి నస్తార్క్ష్యో అరిష్టనేమిః స్వస్తి నో బృహస్పతిర్దధాతు. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. Let us read those mantras. So second section of second Mundaka. Mundaka Upanishadi, Dvitiya Mundake, Dvitiyaha Khandaha. Avissannihitam Guhacharan Nama Mahatpadamatraitat Samarpitam Yejat Pranan Nimishaccha యదేతజ్జానథ సదసద్వరేణ్యం పరం విజ్ఞానాద్ యద్వరిష్ఠం ప్రజానాం యదర్చిమద్ యదణుభ్యోణుశ్చ యస్మిల్లోకానిహితాలోకినశ్చ తదేతదక్షరం బ్రహ్మ సప్రాణస్తదువాంగ్మనః తదేతదక్షరం బ్రహ్మ సప్రాణస్తదువాంగ్మనః తదేతత్ సత్యం తదమృతం తద్వేద్ధవ్యం సౌమ్య విద్ధి. యదర్చిమద్యదభ్యోనుచ యస్మిల్లోకానిహితాలోకినశ్చ తదేతదక్షరం బ్రహ్మ సప్రాణస్తదువాంగ్మనః తదేతత్ సత్యం తదమృతం తద్వేద్ధవ్యం సౌమ్య విద్ధి. ధనుర్గృహీత్వౌపనిషదం మహాస్త్రం శరం హ్యుపాసానిషితం సంధయీత ఆయమ్యతద్భావగతేన చేతసా లక్ష్యం తదేవాక్షరం సౌమ్య విద్ధి. ఓకే, we have read up to this. We have read three mantras. So in this, hey Somya, oh dear student, Vidhi, so we have already seen the meanings of this mantra. Let me remind you again. Danurgrihitva Upanishadam Mahastram. Having taken the bow, in terms of, I told you already, there is Upama. Danuhu, the bow, actually Upanishad is likened to the Omkara mantra. Om is likened to the bow here. So the Upanishadic teaching symbolized by Omkara is the bow. I'm repeating again, very important lesson. The Upanishadic Dhanuhu Grihitva, having taken the bow. What is the bow here? Upanishadam Mahastram. The Upanishadic teaching symbolized by Omkara is the bow. Now you must remember, all the sannyasis, when they are initiated into the sannyasa, they are given this pranava mantra for contemplation. Why? Because ஓம்கார ஓம்கார ஒன்ஸ் யூ சே ஓம் இட் ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் ஃபார் த ஹோல் பகவான் தி ஹோல் ஓம்கார இஸ் எ சவுண்ட் சிம்பிள் ஆஃப் பகவான் தி ஹோல் பிஃபோர் தி ஆச்சாரியர் சேஸ் இன் திஸ் மந்த்ரா ஓ மை டியர் ஸ்டூடெண்ட் ஏ சௌமிய ஔபநிஷதம் மகா அஸ்திரம் தனுஹு கிரஹீத்வா. So having taken this bow in terms of the great weapon, in terms of what now Omkara, the Upanishadic teaching symbolized by Omkara, then what you should do? Sharam Sandhaita. Sharam Sandhaita. Then Sharaha means arrow. Sandhaita means what? Dha is the root, sam is the prefix. Okay? So, sandhayita means may you fix that arrow. May you fix the arrow to the bow. Bow Upanishad. And what should be the bow? Arrow also. The bow is the Omkara. Omkara mantra should be taken for contemplation. Then mayu saraha here symbolizes what? The mind. May you fix the mind. And how should the mind be? So keep placing the arrow in the bow means you're not simply keeping it there for a short time. The placing the arrow on the bow of the Upanishadic weapon means here remaining, being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga. Being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga is said to be what? Placing the arrow in the bow, fixing the arrow to the bow means placing the attention of the mind, placing the mind in the Shastra study. Placing the mind in the Shastra study means what? Being given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga for length of time. So consistently, continuously, regularly, systematically being given to the discipline of Shravanam, Mananam of the Vedanta Shastram for length of time under a competent teacher. The help of a competent teacher for length of time is, that is the Shravanam, is what is Sharasya Sandhanam, placing of the arrow, fixing of the arrow on the bow, means what? Being given to the discipline of Shastra study systematically, regularly for length of time, the help of a competent teacher. That's called placing the arrow. And then, if a person has to be successful as a spiritual person, one must have been religious also. See, one cannot be a spiritual person without having been an ethical and religious person. A spiritual aspirant who wants to accomplish the ultimate goal in terms of moksha, who wants to attain the jnanam, who wants to discover Bhagavan Swarupam, obtaining as one's own Swarupam, such a spiritual aspirant, the desperate seeker, must be highly ethical. He must be living a life of dharma consciously. And he must be highly worshipful. He must be thankful to Bhagavan for all that he is blessed with. And he must be prayerful to Bhagavan, seeking Bhagavan's grace for being able to live a life of dharma. So this person must be religious also. There's no way of being a successful spiritual person or becoming a spiritual person without having been an ethical and religious person. Therefore, it's very important discipline. Upanishad mentions here, there is a careful warning given by the Upanishad. What is the warning? Before you enter into the discipline of the And before you give yourself to the discipline of the jnana yoga, what he is, before the fixing the arrow, the bow, the arrow must be made what? Arrow must be straightened. The arrow must be sharpened. If you use the blunt arrow, it may go, it may not hit the target. Sometimes it may not even go also. The arrow must be straight and arrow must be sharp. Similarly, one's mind must be emotionally stable. One must be intellectually sharp, emotionally stable. Intellectually blunt person also cannot understand the subtle teaching. Emotionally unstable person cannot even focus. Therefore, one must be emotionally stable, intellectually sharp. One must be mentally adequately pure and steady. Therefore, it is said, before you fix the arrow must be straight and sharp. Very important here. That is why here the Upanishad says, Upasha Nishitam. Upasa Nishitam Saram Sandhayita. So, in order to straighten and sharpen the arrow, make use of some hammer. You can hammer it and straighten it. You can make it sharp also. Whereas here, how can the mind be stabilized? How can the intellect be sharpened? How can one become mentally pure and steady? Of course, for that, it means the person must have gone through the discipline of karma yoga for length of time. A person must have been worshipful and prayerful. He must have lived a worshipful, prayerful, meditative life also. Having purushartha nischaya, having moksha as the ultimate goal. Such a person who would have lived life of karma yoga, who would have gone through the discipline of meditation, etc. That person, having gone through the discipline of meditation means at least this person must have been worshipful and prayerful. Not specifically must have practiced any meditation. Must have worshipfully, prayerfully, this person must have gone through the discipline of karma yoga, living a life of, strictly life of dharma. Then the person is ready for emotionally stable and steady, intellectually sharp, and that is what is meant by the expression, hi upasa nishitam. Upasa nishitam, upasanam means meditation, implying also what? Karma yoga. Therefore, and we will not discuss here what is karma yoga and all that. We have to understand this person who is ready. Upasa nishitam Sharam Sandhaita. And then Ayamya. Next word is what? Ayamya means when a person has to shoot the arrow, initially the arrow must be drawn inwards. Only then the arrow will go forward straight. And the drawing the arrow inwards is important. Similarly here, when with reference to Vedantic study, drawing the arrow means what? Taking the attention of the mind, withdrawing the attention of the mind from elsewhere, from all the worldly things to the subject matter of Vedanta Shastram. Placing the attention in Vedanta Shastram is, we can say, withdrawing the attention of the mind and bringing it to the taking the attention from the worldly objects and bringing it to the subject matter of the Shastram is the Ayamanam, drawing the arrow inwards. So we have so many things to think of. We have our own personal problems, problems of people belonging to us, problems of people known to us, and problems in the world. So many things can keep attention distracted. So withdrawing the attention from all of them, and the focused attention must be placed in the Shastra. That's what is implied by the term Ayamya, Ayamanam. Then, when the mind is free from relatively ragadveshas, likes and dislikes, etc., then that mind must be what? That mind must be. Suppose if a mind is not withdrawn, the mind is so distracted and disturbed, a preoccupied mind, then the mind will not be, my mind cannot be filled with the subject matter of the Shastram. The mind will be very, very shallow. Therefore, Ayamanam, Ayamya, the word Ayamya, having withdrawn. Ayamanam means withdrawing. Ayamya means having the arrow in withdrawing, having withdrawn the arrow inwards before shooting. Similarly, take the attention of the mind from the worldly objects, then placing it in the Shastram. Thereafter, what it means is, Ayamanam also implies, of course, the attention is naturally given to the world of things. And shifting one's dependence also, and with understanding, it also implies Vairagyam. The understanding, the world is not the source of happiness, nor is the world responsible for my unhappiness. The only source of happiness is Bhagavan, and discovering the Swarupa of Bhagavan is the only means of relieving myself from sorrow. With understanding, one has to shift one's dependence from the world to Bhagavan. This is what is implied by the word Ayamanam. Then afterwards, what happened? It is said, tadeva lakshyam vidhi. Oh, my student, vidhi means, the two meanings are there. May you hit that target. Tadeva lakshyam, that is the goal. May you hit that goal. So hitting the goal means here the goal is what? Lakshyam is Param Brahma, the imperishable absolute reality, Brahman, the Karanam Brahma, Bhagavan, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness is the lakshyam, the ultimate goal. Tadeva tadbhavagatena chetasa. Very important word is tadbhavagatena chetasa vidhi. How one must hit the target? Laksham vidhi. May you hit the target with a mind. Chetasa, with the mind. With which mind? With the mind tadbhavagatena. The mind which is focused only in that, which is not preoccupied, which is not distracted, which is not disturbed. With an undistracted, undisturbed, unpreoccupied, focused mind, may you tadbhavagatena chetasa, may you laksham tadeva aksharam, may you hit that goal, which is imperishable Brahman, aksharam Brahma. A goal is aksharam Brahma. May you hit the target is literal meaning. May you, so having placed your mind, which is sharpened by going through disciplines of karma yoga and upasana, etc., and having withdrawn the attention from all the worldly objects, placing the attention in the discipline of jnana yoga for length of time, hey Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, hey Arjuna, may you understand your Swarupam. And here Upanishad teacher says, hey Somya, tadeva laksham vidhi. May you discover that imperishable Brahman. So the word vidhi has two meanings. Okay. One meaning is may you hit the target. Another meaning is may you understand. May you discover the truth. Okay, you discover that imperishable reality. Okay, that is discovering that reality is discovering your own sarupam, which is the only means of attaining moksha. Okay, now please understand, Somya, oh dear student, Vidhi means what? The word Vidhi is an imperative verb. It has, there are two roots. Please understand, there are two roots. One root is Vyad. Vyad. That root Vyad belongs to fourth conjugation. The root Vyad, Sanskrit students make a note, the root Vyad of fourth conjugation means pierces, strikes, hits. Piercing, okay? What is the verb? Vidhyati. Vyad is the root. Vyad is the root, but the verb is Vidhyati. Vidhyati is a fourth conjugation verb. And Vidhyati means hits, strikes, pierces. Whereas, the same root of Vid, there's another root of Vid. Okay, that is Vid, not fourth, third dakar. Vid, Veti. Veti is the verb. Vid is the root, Veti is the verb. And the root Vid belongs to second conjugation. And the root Vid belonging to second conjugation, the imperative form of it is what? Vidhi. So the imperative form of the root Vyad of fourth conjugation also means Vidhi. The imperative form of the root Vid of second conjugation also means Vidhi. The verb Vidhi means may you hit, may you pierce, may you strike. And Vidhi also means what? As a second conjugation verb root, it means may you know, may you understand. Okay, oh, how Upanishad is used, both in both senses the verb is used, carefully used. So may you hit with the target of Brahman, target. Here, hey, oh dear student, may you understand that imperishable Brahman, the ultimate goal. Okay, now, this is the meaning of the mantra we have understood. I'm getting the new verse now, new mantra. Now, how you can do that? Pranavodhanu sharohyatma. Fourth mantra. We'll understand the third mantra better in the fourth mantra. Pranavodhanu sharohyatma. Brahmatallakshyamuchyate. Pranavodhanu sharohyatma. Brahmatallakshyamuchyate. Apramattena vedhavyam sharavattanmayo bhavet. Apramattena vedhavyam sharavattanmayo bhavet. Pranavodhanusharohyatma. I request all of you to memorize these mantras gradually by repeatedly chanting. If you memorize the mantras, the meanings will stay with the mantras. The meanings stay with the mantras, and it is easy for you to dwell upon the teaching also. Pranavodhanusharohyatma. Pranavodhanusharohyatma. Brahmatallakshyamuchyate. Brahmatallakshyamuchyate. Apramattena vedhavyam. Apramattena vedhavyam. Sharavattanmayo bhavet. Apramattena vedhavyam. Sharavattanmayo bhavet. Okay. So in this mantra, again, please read correctly. Pranavodhanusharohyatma. Brahmatallakshyamuchyate. Apramattena vedhavyam. Sharavattanmayo bhavet. Pranavaha dhanuhu. ஷரஹாஹி ஆத்மா, பிரம்ம தல் லக்ஷ்யம் உச்சியதே, அப்ரமத்தேன வேத்தவ்யம், ஷரவத் தன்மயஹா பவேத். பிரணவஹா தனுஹு. வாட் இஸ் த போ ஹியர்? When he Upanishad said, Dhanurgrihitva Aupanishadam Mahastram, he says, Omkaraha, Pranavaha, Omkaraha is the bow, and Sharaha hi Atma, he indeed, Atma, the word Atma means mind, mind is the arrow, and this arrow, the mind in terms of, the arrow in terms of mind must be fixed to the bow. That is Omkaraha, symbolizing the Upanishads, Upanishadic teaching. And what is the target which should be hit? What is that which should be finally discovered, understood? What is the target which should be hit by this arrow called mind? Brahma. Brahma tal lakshyam uchyate. Tasya atmanaha lakshyam. The goal, ultimate goal that has to be discovered, that has to be understood, was hit, is what? Brahma. And here it said, apramattena vedhavyam. How the arrow must be shot? It is said, apramattena vedhavyam. The arrow must be sent in such a way that the arrow goes and hits the target, it remains one with the target. Sharavat, like the arrow, just as the arrow remains one with the target, so that the mind also should discover Brahman and remain tanmayaha bhavet, become one with Brahman. This is the literal meaning of the tanmayaha, becoming one with that. Sharavat, just as the arrow which hits the target remains one with the target, object of target, similarly, this tanmayaha bhavet, this mind also must remain one with Brahman, become Brahman itself. This is the literal meaning of this mantra. So, already we have understood in the previous mantra that here is an archery. Upanishad, the attainment of knowledge, the spiritual pursuit is likened to an archery. He is a spiritual archery. And bow used here in this archery is Upanishadic mantra, that is Omkaraha, symbolizing the Upanishadic teaching. So Omkara was not mentioned in the previous mantra. Okay, Omkara simply Upanishadam, it was mentioned. So taking the bow of Upanishadic teaching. But what was it was not mentioned actually. But in this mantra, in the fourth mantra, Upanishad makes it very clear that pranavaha dhanuhu. So pranavaha, the omkaraha, which is the essence of all the mantras of entire Veda, is the mantra which we taken for contemplation. Therefore, a person must be given to the discipline of jnana yoga. One must go through shravanam, manam, etc. Then one must understand the meaning of omkaraha. Now omkara must be taken for contemplation. So what it is said, it was not mentioned in the previous mantra. It is said pranavaha dhanuhu. The weapon, the great weapon symbolizing the Upanishadic teaching is omkaraha pranavaha. I think I already told you last class itself why pranavaha is called pranavaha. Navaha means a name and pranavaha means a unique name, an appropriate name, proper name, perfect name of Bhagavan. One word, one name can denote only one object, whereas Om can denote all the objects, the entire world of objects. That's why Pranavaha, Omkaraha is also known by another expression pranavaha. Navaha with the dental nakara means a name. Navaha is a pullinga shabdaha, masculine gender word, which means a name. A name denoting any name, any one given name, denoting any one given object is called a navaha. If we add a pra, then dental nakara is replaced by cerebral nakara, becomes pranavaha. Navaha, pranavaha. Pranavaha means a unique name, appropriate name, perfect name of Bhagavan. Okay, why it is perfect name? Because Bhagavan means the whole. The whole Jagat is appearance of Bhagavan. Therefore, Pranavaha, Om is a unique name of Bhagavan because Om stands for all the objects of the whole Jagat. I think I explained already Omkar. I don't know whether in this class or some other class, I don't know. I explained. Anyway, I don't mind again repeating it. So Om is a unique name. Why? Because Akara, Ukara, Makara, the three sounds stand for three worlds. The gross universe is symbolized by Akara. Subtle universe is symbolized by Ukara. Unmanifest universe is symbolized by Makara. And the silence following Makara symbolizes consciousness. So Om stands for both Sagunam Brahma and Nirgunam Brahma. Therefore, Omkara can be taken as an alambanam for Saguna Upasam as well as for Nirguna Brahma Upasam. Again, one more thing, Akara Vukara stands for Makara. A is a guttural sound. That nasal sound is a liberal sound. A and im. In between you get Ukara. Therefore, all these sounds, all vowels and consonants of all languages, any language, must be pronounced only between guttural and liberal sounds. Therefore, A and having Ukara in the middle, stand for all the vowels and consonants of all languages. And all sounds stand for all the letters. All the letters stand for all the words. All the words stand for all the objects. All the objects constitute the whole universe. Therefore, Om is equal to whole cosmos. And what is whole cosmos? Appearance of Bhagavan. Therefore, Om is an appropriate name of Bhagavan. It's a unique name of Bhagavan. Prakarshena nuyate anena sarvani vastuni samagram jagat iti. Anena iti pranavaha. Prakarshena nuyate anena iti pranavaha. So Bhagavan is appropriately denoted by this word pranava, omkara, om. Therefore, om is known as pranavaha. So pranavaha dhanuhu. Okay. Now, the spiritual aspirant, the mind of the spiritual aspirant, the jiva is the sharaha. The individual spiritual aspirant is the sharaha. The mind is the sharaha. And that the person, the jivatma, the individual who has become mentally pure and steady, that way who has sharpened and straightened his mind. It means the arrow must be sharp and straight before it is used for shooting. Similarly, before the person enters into the spiritual contemplative life also, he must be adequately mentally pure and steady. For already I have said, by living a life of karma yoga, by being worshipful and prayerful, one must have become adequately mentally pure and steady. That's why it is said, Sharaha Atma. This is the mind. Sharahahi Atma. Already we have seen Upasa Nishitam in the previous mantra. And this Jivatma, this person, the spiritual aspirant, must dwell upon the meaning of the word Omkaraha. Thereby, he must understand Sagunam Brahma as well as Nirgunam Brahma. Brahma Tallaksham Uchyate. So dwelling upon the meaning of Omkaraha properly unfolded must bless a person with the clear understanding of what is Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha, what is absolute reality, attributeless reality, obtaining in the form of consciousness. So, Brahma Talaksham Uchyate, and one must discover what has to be understood finally, what has to be arrived by contemplating upon Omkara is absolute reality Brahma. Tat Laksham, absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, is the Laksham, the ultimate goal, which has to be discovered. It is said, Iti Uchyate, it is said that Brahman is the absolute, ultimate goal to be discovered by the spiritual aspirant. Now, okay, the bow is used, arrow is fixed, and arrow has to hit, and the mind must be prepared. The lucky goal is Brahman, everything is fine. For how can the bow becomes operated by itself? There must be an archer who makes use of the bow. Upanishad does not mention who the archer is, it is implied. We can say, The guru who unfolds the meanings of the Upanishad mantra is like the archer who helps the arrow reach the target Brahman. Sometimes it is said the Jivatma himself is both. The archer also is Jivatma, arrow also is Jivatma. But here we can say the teacher who helps the archer helps makes the arrow reach the target. Similarly, the teacher who helps understand the meaning of the Upanishads is like an archer who helps the individual jiva discover his own Swarupam, being Brahman. Okay. Now it is said, apramattena vedhavyam. Apramattena vedhavyam means what? So when a highly efficient, proficient archer, when he shoots, and he must be very focused, very, very focused. So pramattaha means a person who is highly distracted, disturbed, a mentally disturbed person or preoccupied person is called pramattaha. Whereas apramattaha is the one whose mind is not distracted or disturbed or not held by anything else. Ananya chitta is called apramattaha. So apramattena vedhavya means the person must be single pointed minded, focused without any distraction. Apramattena vedhavyam. So none of us should forget how Arjuna was when Dronacharya conducted a test for all his students to know their concentration capacity. How focused students are. To test them, Dronacharya wanted to have a test. To test all of them, he called all of them and he showed one bird on the tree and he asked all the students one by one what they were seeing. And then all the students gave different answers. One boy started from the root, he talked about the trunk and then branches and leaves. And then all of them were giving what all they were seeing along with the bird. Some people, they're not seeing the bird at all, they're seeing something else. And when Arjuna went to the place, Arjuna said, I do not see anything other than the bird. Even though the bird was sitting on the branch of a tree, still Arjuna could not see anything else. Arjuna's focus, what? Apramattam manaha. Okay, undistracted mind, focused mind, unpreoccupied mind, single-pointed mind. So apramattena vedhavyam. One must hit the target with the focused attention without any distraction. Which means one must place one's mind in this, in the dwelling upon the meaning of Omkara. Okay. So Vedhavyam. Vedhavyam means what? Already I told you, the two roots are there, two meanings are there. Vedhavyam, one meaning is must be hit. Tavir, must be hit, should be hit. One must hit the target. Another meaning is what? One must understand Paramatma. One must understand Bhagavan. One must discover the absolute reality, Brahman. Therefore, then what? Once understand what happens, Tanmayaha Bhavet. If the arrow goes and reaches the target, the arrow remains one with the target. Tanmayaha Bhavet. If the arrow is blunt, it will not hit, it will fall down. It will remain one with the target. Okay? So the arrow is sharp and straight and sharp arrow, which goes straight to the target, which hits the target, which will remain one with the target. The same way, Sharavat, Sharavat Tanmayaha Bhavet. Like a straight, sharp arrow, which goes and hits the target, remains one with the target, so also this mind, the focused attention also, is placed in the contemplation upon the meaning of the Omkara, also understanding Brahman, that what happens? Remains one with Brahman. Remaining one with Brahman means what? After understanding what Brahman is, so by it not, literally we should not take it. Not just as the arrow remains one with the target, mind doesn't remain one with Brahman means not physically. Please remember, mind remaining one with Brahman, the spiritual aspirant, after having dwelt upon the Omkara, and when he understands what Ishvara is, what absolute reality is, what Atma is, what Brahman is, then he discovers Brahman obtaining as one's own Swarupam also. Then afterwards, like any other ignorant person, this person will be involved in all transactions, all activities. You know, he will be doing like any other human, ignorant person, how he lives his life. Jnani, as a Jnani also, he will be doing his physical activities like other person, but still only difference is in his perspective there is a difference. Ajnani has a wrong perspective of the self and the world. Therefore he becomes the victim of the problem of samsara. But as a wise person, physically he is living like an Ajnani, but in his perspective there is a difference. He has a different perspective of the self and the world. Remaining one with Brahman means what? Living one's life with a different perspective, that Aham Brahma Asmi, I itself am Brahman. Therefore what? With a different perspective of the self and the world, the person is not afflicted by the problems of samsara. He is no more a victim of the problems of samsara. Why? Because in his mind he knows Aham Brahma Asmi. Always, in spite of physically being involved in all day-to-day transactions and activities also, the wise person does not lose sight of his essential nature being Brahman. Not losing sight of one's own essential nature being absolute reality Brahman is remaining one with the target. Okay, this is the meaning of this mantra. Let us continue. And see, Upanishad only mentions about the Omkara Dhyanam. How one should dwell upon the Omkara Dhyanam, Omkara, that is not mentioned here. Okay, anyway, let us understand later on. I will continue with this. Upanishad does not say how one should meditate upon Omkara. But Upanishad says, understand the meaning of Omkara through the study of the Upanishads, then dwell upon the meaning of the Omkara, that will bless you with the clear understanding of what is Sagunam Brahma and what is Nirgunam Brahma. Meanwhile, you will know that you are Brahman. You are the absolute reality. Satyam, whole jagat is mithya. And in this clear vision of what you are, what this world is, what Bhagavan is, you will be free from the problems of samsara. That is the teaching. Okay, next mantra. Yasmin dyau prithivi chantariksham. Yasmin dyau prithivi chantariksham. Yasmin dyau prithivi chantariksham. Otam. Yasmin dyau prithivi chantariksham otam. Manasaha pranaischa sarvaihi. Manasaha pranaischa sarvaihi. Yasmin dyau prithivi chantariksham otam. Manasaha pranaischa sarvaihi. Tamevaikam janatha atmanam. Tamevaikam janatha atmanam. Anyavacho vimunchatha amrutasya esha setuhu. Understand the mantra first, then we can break the verse. When you are chanting the mantra, you cannot break it. You must read the mantra as it is. Yasmin dyav prithivi chantariksham. Otam manasaha pranaischa sarvaihi. Yasmin dyav prithivi chantariksham. Otam manasaha pranaischa sarvaihi. Tamevaikam janatha atmanam. Tamevaikam janatha atmanam. Anyavacho vimunchatha. Anyavacho vimunchatha amrutasyaisha setuhu. Amrutasyaisha setuhu. Yasmin dyau prithivi chantariksham. Yasmin dyau prithivi chantariksham. Yasmin dyau prithivi chantariksham. Otam manasaha pranaischa sarvaihi. Otam manasaha pranaischa sarvaihi. Otam manasaha pranaischa sarvaihi. Otam manasaha pranaischa sarvaihi. Tamevaikam janatha atmanam. Tamevaikam janatha atmanam. You can see where exactly I'm stopping. Tamev, because these mantras do not have any pass. You have to correctly, when you want to chant correctly, you must have a correct pass. Tamevaikam janatha atmanam. Tamevaikam janatha atmanam. Anyavacho vimunchatha. Anyavacho vimunchatha amrutasyaisha setuhu. Amrutasyaisha setuhu. Again, yasmin dyau prithivi chantariksham. Otam manasaha pranaischa sarvaihi. Tamevaikam janatha atmanam. Anyavacho vimunchatha amrutasyaisha setuhu. Okay, just another, all the mantras in this section are very beautiful mantras. Okay, now Upanishad without any ambiguity assertively tells human beings. Upanishad without any ambiguity clearly, assertively teaches all the human beings. I say human beings, it is not for any one people of any given culture. Of course, the Hindus, Vedicas follow. The teaching is for the entirety of the world of human beings. Because every human being, all human beings, irrespective of their cultural background, irrespective of their nationality background, irrespective of their parental background, family background, irrespective of what they are, all of them are sailing in the same boat with reference to one problem of samsara. Therefore, for all of them, the teaching is given here, assertively, authentically, the teaching is given here. What is that one should primarily pursue in life? So we should not have any, we should not have any loopholes. Okay, we should not give simple excuses. No, it is not this. I don't have time. I'm so busy. No. What Shastram says, one must definitely spare time for one's pursuit of spiritual knowledge. One should not give any excuse. No lame excuses. One must definitely spare time. You can have time for everything else. One must spare time for one spiritual pursuit. It means one must start giving little time in the beginning for spiritual pursuit, and slowly one must enhance one's commitment to the spiritual pursuit. One must spare more time for spiritual pursuit also. Gradually. Why? Because when a person begins his life as a brahmachari, his focus is only in the study. Then whatever he understood in the brahmachari ashrama, he can start implementing his knowledge of dharma, etc. only when he starts living as a grihastha ashrama. Of course, as a brahmachari also, he lives a clean life. But his focus, only his, all his understanding of the shastram happens as a brahmachari. All his needs are taken care of by the gurukulam and society. So, there's no need for him to much of interaction. No need for him to interaction. There's no, not much difficulty. He does not have much difficulty in living his life as a brahmachari. Life is well taken care of. But when he enters into the grihastha ashrama, it is then he has to start implementing all the knowledge he has learned, got in brahmacharya ashrama. As a grihastha, he has his own social obligatory duties, family duties, he has commitments, and he is the one who has to feed brahmachari and sannyasi, all of them. So the commitments are more. Therefore, he is more given to the pursuit of material ends than spiritual study. Even as a grihastha ashrami, his goal is a spiritual goal. Ultimate goal is moksha. Ultimate goal is jnanam. He is committed to the pursuit of jnanam. So even though he is pursuing material ends, still in conformity with dharma as karma yoga, but still his time he spares for spiritual pursuit is much less than the time other people of other ashramas. Then gradually the person has to, then he understands and he has to give more time also. He can't continue to remain in grihastha ashrama forever. Even if he is in the grihastha ashrama, mentally he must grow, he must become a sannyasi mentally. See, entering into the grihastha ashrama is also to come out of the grihastha ashrama. Coming out of the grihastha ashrama does not mean one should take sannyas and go away to the ashram. Living in a grihastha ashrama itself, living in the same house, the same surroundings, one must be mentally, one must go through sannyasa. One must mentally become mature. One must have understood what am I living this life for ultimately. Then one must really become committed to the pursuit of jnanam. When one must be able to spare more time for shastra study, etc. gradually. Okay. It's very important. Therefore, now, what does Upanishad says here in this mantra? This introduction is very important for us to understand. See, what is Parambrahma? What is absolute reality? Absolute reality is that which is beginningless, that which is endless, that which is changeless, that which is all pervasive, that which is indestructible, and that which is the only satyam, that which exists independently without depending upon anything else. And the knowledge of that absolute reality alone is said to be what? Knowledge of the Aksharam Brahman is said to be Paravidya. Paravidya is what now? Ishvara Jnanam, Paramatma Jnanam, Brahma Vidya. So here, in this mantra, yes, vindyav prithivi chantariksham, otam manasah pranischa sarvaihi, tamevaikam janatha atmanam, anyavacho vimanchata, amrutasyesha setuhu. In this mantra, Upanishad presents, in fact, also a Mahavakyam. The whole section is what now? The whole section presents the subject matter of the Mahavakyam only. What is that? In the whole Upanishad, the whole section, all the mantras sound, all the mantras serve as the Mahavakyams. They all reveal the essential oneness of the reality, essential oneness of the Jivatma and Paramatma. So here, in this mantra also, Upanishad mentions, presents this knowledge of the truth, known as Paravidya, Brahma Vidya. And it is the most important knowledge. There is no greater knowledge than this Paravidya. Most important, because it is the only knowledge which can liberate a human mind from bondage. There's no other shortcut method. It is much cannot be improved upon. Understand? I tell you one thing. This is the most exalted knowledge which cannot be improved at all. Non-improvably exalted, the only means of freeing human minds from bondage of samsara, all sufferings. Therefore, this wisdom should not be neglected at all. Okay? If a person neglects this knowledge, means the person is deluded person. A clear-minded person will not neglect this knowledge. What about this? What is this entire universe? This entire universe is said to be looked upon as the effect. Okay, effect. Why? Because this universe doesn't have independent existence of its own. Please understand, very important lesson. Why this universe is said to be an effect? The universe is said to be in an effect. The Jagat is said to be effect. Prapancha is said to be a karya prapancha because it does not have independent existence of its own. It is dependent on this reality for its existence, therefore it is said to be an effect. Otherwise, it is not that created by Brahman or anything. It, because it's dependent on Brahman for its existence, the reality for its existence, the reality which is your swarupam, your own self for its existence, it is called the effect. It is known as an effect. Karya prapanchaha. But what Shastram says, we are supposed to have that reality which lends existence to this universe. If this universe is an effect, the universe doesn't have independent existence of its own. It is dependent on something else for its existence. And what is that reality which lends existence to this universe? And that reality, because it lends existence to this universe, by its mere presence, that reality is looked upon as Karanam Brahma or Karana Ishwaraha. Really speaking, only from the standpoint of the universe, which is dependent on Brahman for its existence, Brahman is known as Karana Ishwaraha or Ishwara, the Lord. The qualification of Ishwara is attributed to Brahman from the standpoint of the universe, because the universe is dependent on Brahman for its existence. And the Brahman, by its mere presence, lends existence. Just as light lends existence by mere presence, by illumining, it lends existence to the objects. Similarly, Brahman, by its mere presence, the reality, obtaining in the form of consciousness, by its mere presence, lends existence to this world of inert matter. Therefore, is given the qualification of Ishwaraha. Reality is looked upon as Ishwaraha, Karana Ishwaraha. Okay, now, Upanishad emphatically states that the knowledge of that reality is very important. Very important, especially we are here in this world as part of this world. And having been born in this world, we have to transact with this world. We have to interact with this world. And we are experiencing this world. Therefore, it is very important for all of us, all the human beings, to have this knowledge of the Karanam Brahma, Karana Ishwaraha. When we are living in this world, interacting, transacting with this world of objects and people and things. And we know, we have our experiences. We have experience that we think all the transactions, all our transactions with this world do have an emotional content. Emotional content, which means there's no such a thing called transaction, a mere transaction without any emotional content. Which means when we go through the transactions, when you transact with the world, we do go through pairs, experience of what? Pairs of opposites. When we go through pairs of opposites, we do feel elated, we do feel dejected, we do feel depressed, we do worry, we are anxious, we get anxious, we get angry, we get frightened. It's all very natural. There is also, sometimes we feel highly elated, sometimes we feel highly dejected also. Therefore, these patches of opposites and also emotions are always naturally, effortlessly generated in our transactions. So all our interactions involve what? All interactions do have emotional contents. But it's not that we should not have, very natural. Sometimes these emotions are not within the range. That the emotions sometimes go beyond the range, that even it affects our quality of life. Our health becomes affected, emotions become, our mental health is affected, physical health is affected. it affects to that extent, some people even go mad. Some people do not know how to get out of it. Therefore, whatever it is, our physical, emotional, intellectual health must be maintained. Only then the quality of life is a better quality of life. Without emotions, we cannot live like stones. We are human beings. So emotional content is inevitable. Emotional content is also important at the same time, because it is these emotions which makes a human life a human life. Without these emotions, a human being will be like a rock or an animal. Therefore, emotions are important. At the same time, they must contribute for our physical, emotional well-being, mental well-being. It should affect, the quality of life should not be affected. So any inert machinery doesn't have any emotional content. We cannot live like mechanically. Therefore, how can we handle this problem? Problem of this emotional content going beyond the range, that it goes to that extent that it affects the quality of life, it becomes a very uncontrollable problem, serious problem. So there is the fear, insecurity, anxiety, hurt and guilt, disappointments. These things make our life really burdened, very heavy. Therefore, we need something. Of course, in the beginning we say living a life of karma yoga will help one manage one's thoughts, manage one's emotions. And being prayerful and worshipful, even doing all temple prakshanam, etc. Also, people do so many things to manage their emotions within the range. We cannot totally destroy the emotions. We need not destroy them also. We need not also. But definitely, we need something to manage the situations, manage the emotions within the range. And what Vedanta Shastram says, that there is only one means, only one thing by which alone, with the help of which alone, we can maintain all our emotions within range, and we can manage them, we can have mastery over them. Not simply maintaining the emotions, we can have absolute mastery over all the emotions, which means the emotions will not affect our quality of life. We will have absolute mastery over our emotions. And that the only means of having mastery over emotions is the knowledge of reality, obtaining as our own swarupam. The knowledge is called paravidya. From the beginning, Shastram says it is the problem of having to deal with the emotions, are affected by the emotions, our emotions affecting our quality of life is purely because of our erroneous perception of the self and the world, which is because of the ignorance of your own essential nature being Brahman. What you are, you do not know. You do not know what the world is. You do not know what Bhagavan is. But not knowing anything, not knowing your own Swarupam, with erroneous perception of your own self, erroneous perception of the world, when you're transacting with the world, you are helplessly become the victim of your own emotions. In fact, the world does not cause any problem. We are not able to manage, maintain, handle, have mastery over our emotions. That is the problem. It's purely because of ignorance. There, how? Paravidya is the only means of managing your, having mastery over your emotions. Therefore, how to have the right perspective of the self and the world, for which Shastra says only jnanam. Understand Bhagavan, understand the truth. Now, in this fourth mantra, Upanishad states, Tameva Ekam Janata. Okay, there's a beautiful instruction Upanishad gives. What is the instruction given by the Upanishad? Look at this. Tameva. Tameva ekam janata. Tameva ekam janata. Please read carefully. Tameva ekam janata. Janata. May you all know. May you all discover. What janata is a, why is it the entire humanity? Because the verb janata is the imperative third, second person plural verb. Janatha. May you all know. What? Tam yeva yekam. Tam yeva yekam. Vriddhisandhi eva yekam. Tam eva yekam janatha. Tam yekam yeva janatha. Tam yekam yeva janatha. What does it mean? May you all discover, know that Brahman. Tam means him. May you all know only that Paramatma. Come on, you spent, have spent enough time to know so many things in the world. Now, if you want to have mastery over your mind, may you know only that Paramatma. May you know only that Bhagavan. May you know only that Karana Ishvara. May you know only that reality. The Tam is a masculine gender word. So I'm saying, instead of using the word Brahman, I'm using the word Ishwaraha Bhagavan. Tameva ekam janata. May you discover only that Bhagavan. Means may you spare as much time as possible, all your time to discover Bhagavan, to inquire into the nature of this truth, reality. Inquire, may you spare as much time as possible to inquire into the nature of the reality. Thereby, may you discover that, understand that Bhagavan. So, Karana Ishwaraha or Bhagavan Paramatma. Who is Karana Ishwaraha? Karana Ishwaraha means Atma. Okay, the Karana Ishwaraha means the Karanam Brahma. Bhagavan Paramatma is the Atma. Atma means what? The all pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence of every one of you. Your own self is Bhagavan. So may one try to spare as much time as possible to anchor into the nature of the reality obtaining as one's own self. Tameva ekam janatha. Tameva ekam janatha. It means, may you discover what you are. May you discover that Paramatma, only that Paramatma means, may you discover your own Swarupam. May you discover means what? You know, you, Shastram tells, you know you are, but you do not know what you are. You do not know that you do not know what you are. Better may you discover your own Swarupam. And what is your Swarupam? What you are essentially. Your essential nature is Paramatma. Paramatma is in the form of essential nature of yourself. Your essential nature is Paramatma. Therefore, may you spare time to inquire into the nature of Paramatma, obtaining as your own Swarupam. The inquiry into the nature of Paramatma is nothing but inquiry into your own Swarupam, that is Paramatma. And here, we have to understand why you should inquire into the nature of Paramatma, that is nature of your own self. Okay, yourself and Paramatma, one and the self, one and the same. And why should you inquire into the nature of Paramatma? Because Paravidya is absolute knowledge. Knowledge of Parameshwara, knowledge of Bhagavan is the only means of seeing, only means of crossing the ocean of samsara. It is the only bridge. Why? Because you take any other knowledge. There's hundreds of disciplines of knowledge we have. All disciplines of knowledge, all disciplines of science, okay, they're all useful, very, very useful. They deserve reverence and respect, but they all have their own limitations. They're all conditionally relevant. They're conditionally relevant. They're temporarily relevant. All other disciplines of science and the other disciplines of knowledge are conditionally relevant, temporarily relevant. But there's nothing which is absolutely, permanently relevant. Okay? That's why the knowledge of all the disciplines, all the branches of science is known as Aparavidya. Of course, it's very useful. Aparavidya is relevant conditionally and temporarily, but it is not at all permanently, absolutely. What is relevant is only Paravidya. Paravidya. Therefore, Upanishad says, Anyaha vacho vimunchatha. Look at this. Anyaha vacho vimunchatha. Please give me a little time. Don't go. I would like to say something important. Anyaha vacho vimunchatha. Don't waste time talking anything else. Anyaha vachaha vimunchatha. Give up your all other unnecessary gathering, unnecessary information, talking about unnecessary things. Anyaha vachaha vimunchatha means what? Not simply talking alone. Now it is high time. Do not spare any more time for the study of any more other. It's mainly for old people, okay? Do not spare time for the study of any other disciplines of knowledge, any other branches of science. Okay? Enough. Anyaha vachaha vimunchata means what? Give up all your unnecessary talks. Means what? Give up all your pursuits of very, very straightway direct teaching here. There's a daivudakshinam, they say, no more. Very strict about it here. Anyaha vachaha vimunchata. Vimunchata, imperative of give up. Give up means stop. Now, no more being given to the study of other branches of disciplines. Other disciplines of knowledge, other branches of science. Why? Because they are all not reliable. They are not reliable at all. They will not free you from your problems. They will not bless you with emotional strength that you need to handle. What is that which makes your life a better life, a quality life? This is this jnana. Okay? Because so he says, all other disciplines are useful for transacting in this world. We don't say no. At the same time, it is not only, this is this is the paravidya is not simply for using it here. This is knowledge which one should hold on to, is which one should hold on to free oneself from all limitations. I tell you, Shankara Bhagavatpada, you know, makes it very clean. All his stotrams, he says one thing. He implies one thing. When a person becomes old, the death comes. I tell you, at the time of old age, when a person gets old, when the death comes, nothing in the world will help you. The fear, the marana bhayam is something which will really shake the person. There's no worse problem. There's no worst problem other than afflicted by the fear at the time of death, fear of death. Therefore, nothing will protect you other than this knowledge. That's why nahi nahi dakshati dukrinj karane samprapte kale samprapte sannihite kale nahi nahi rakshati. When the death comes, the time of death, the fear of death is there, I tell you, nothing will protect you. Therefore, one must hold on to this. Anyaha vachaha vimanchata. And it is the paravidya. So, aparavidya, how much ever highly qualified you are, that knowledge will not remove at all your fear of death, your fear of being born again. Okay? Will not help you. Therefore, that is why the jnanam is said to be the bheshajam, the only bheshajam will protect, medicine which will protect you is what? Bhavaroga bheshajam, the medicine which will cure the disease of your samsara is paravidya, and Bhagavan is the only bhishak doctor who can protect you. Or better, anyaha vachaha vimunchata. Paravidya will save you. The only medicine which can save you from the disease of the fear of samsara is paravidya only. Eshaha eva. Okay. Now, eshaha. You can see that nice word comes. Eshaha eva setuhu. Vimunchata amrutasya eshaha setuhu. Anyaha vachaha vimanchata. I explained to you, ekam atmanam janatha. I explained to you. Anyaha vachaha vimanchata. I explained to you. Amrutasya yeshaha setuhu. This is the only bridge. This is the only bridge which help you cross the ocean of samsara to reach the shore of moksha. Okay, now the next line, give me just 5 minutes, I'll explain. Next he says, Amrutasya yeshaha setuhu. Setuhu, see pulling a shabda, yeshaha setuhu. This is the only bridge. Amrutasya, to reach the shore of moksha. Amrita means moksha. To reach the shore of moksha by crossing the ocean of samsara. Samsara sagaram tartum amrita moksham praptum yeshaha eva setuho. That's the meaning. Now, then Bhagavan, in the first two lines, beautifully it is presented. What is presented? How to understand Bhagavan? The jnanam, if you have to constantly, continuously contemplate upon Bhagavan, okay, how long one should contemplate upon Bhagavan? How can you contemplate upon Bhagavan? Okay. How it is possible for anyone to make use of this knowledge of absolute reality? How one should know how to make use of the paravidya? Whenever the dealing in this world, transacting with the world becomes more emotional, becomes highly emotional. Whenever the transactions in the world become over emotional, how we can make use of this paravidya? Okay, that's what Upanishad here teaches. As you can see, they said, look at the first line, very nice. Yes, vindyau prithivi chantariksham otam manasah pranischa sarvaihi. Yes, vindyau prithivi chantariksham otam manasah pranischa sarvaihi. So, it is said, the entirety of the cosmos is likened to a cloth in this mantra. The entirety of the cosmos is likened to a cloth. A huge piece of cloth. Imagine, the entire universe is compared to a huge piece of cloth. And this cloth is, any cloth must be made of threads. Any cloth is woven, no, in threads only. He said, now all the threads are woven, making use of a given pattern. So in a given specific pattern, when all the threads are woven, and that all the threads woven together alone gives the appearance of a cloth. The cloth is nothing but appearance. The cloth, a huge piece of cloth is nothing but an appearance of the countless waves, countless threads woven together. Countless threads woven together alone gives the appearance of a cloth. So now, what is the thread? What are those threads? Together gives the appearance of the cloth. We can say, of course, with reference to thread, cloth, we can say threads. But with reference to this whole jagat, the whole jagat is like a huge piece of cloth. There must be a thread which lends existence to this appearance of the cloth. And Bhagavan is the thread. Bhagavan is the thread which lends existence to this appearance called the cloth in the form of the universe. Bhagavan is like the thread, Paramatma is like the thread, and the whole world is like the cloth woven with the thread of cloth, this Bhagavan. There cannot be a cloth without the thread. The existence of thread is the existence of the cloth. Existence of Paramatma is the existence of the world. Okay, of course, you cannot use the thread for wearing as a cloth. What is useful? Threads or cloth? Of course, the cloth alone is very useful. You can stitch, you can wear it as dress. Similarly, the world is very useful. The world is of utility for experiencing sukha dukkha, etc. But still, the cloth has no existence of its own. If you remove the threads, cloth has no existence. Cloth has no independent existence without the threads. Therefore, similarly, because there's no truth. The cloth is not real, threads are real with reference to the cloth and threads. Similarly, the jagat is what? Jagat has no essence, substantiality of its own. Minus threads, cloth is, there's no substance called cloth, minus threads. The threads form the substance of the cloth. The cloth is only appearance. Similarly, the jagat is only appearance. It has no substance of its own. You know, substantiality of its own. And this world is what? It is mithya. It is not real. The essence of the universe is just as the essence of the cloth, existence of the cloth, the truth of the cloth is the threads. Similarly, and for this whole jagat, the cloth in the mouth, the jagat, jagat is the woven thread. Bhagavan alone is there as the thread which lends existence to this universe. So, Otam, Swamiji loves this expression, this mantra, Puja Swamiji. Otap Prothi used to say this. Otam means the entire universe is interwoven. The entire universe is woven in the thread of Bhagavan in terms of imperishable reality, Brahman. And this entire cloth, this world of the universe, the cloth in the form of universe consists of Dyauhu, Prithivi, Antariksham. Dyauhu, Prithivi, Antariksham stands for what? Three worlds above. Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. Seven worlds above are reduced as three worlds. Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha. And they're mentioned by here, Suvaha word. Dyauhu means Bhuvaha, Suvaha. Prithvi means Bhuvaha, Bhuhu. And Bhuvaha means Antariksham. Dyauhu, Prithvi, Antariksham means heaven, the earth. Antariksham, intermediary space. All these three stand for Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha, three worlds. All three worlds implies what? In fact, three worlds implies the entirety of the cosmos is woven in this thread of Bhagavan. Nothing here is outside of this thread of Bhagavan. The cloth is not outside of the thread. The cloth is an appearance of the thread. Similarly, the whole jagat is appearance of Bhagavan only. Therefore, this macrocosmic, Bhagavan is called macrocosmic being. Perum all, macrocosmic, perum all. The macrocosmic being is Bhagavan. And this, the universe is, that's why the universe is what? The form of Bhagavan. The body, the every individual body, mind and complex, the microcosmic being, and the total cosmos, the macrocosmic being, the whole jagat is woven in the thread of Bhagavan. So what he says now, first he said, the three words stand for the jagat, then manaha, pranaisaha. I can say that next, second line. Otam yasmin dyauhu prithivi chantariksham otam manasaha pranischa sarvaihi. Manaha, mind, along with the pranas, all pranas. The word pranas also stand for what? Physiological functions, subtle organs of knowledge, organs of actions. The end is subtle body. Okay, all of them. So individual body, mind and complex. And it, all the three worlds, all of them are interwoven in the thread of Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the only thread in which the cloth of universe is woven. Beautifully it is read here. Okay. Therefore, Bhagavan is in the form of the universe. This I'll stop, I'll continue tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.